commentator that I was reading made a note that noted that that writer of wisdom was writing in the first century BC, not too long before before Jesus came, and Alexandria had a very vibrant or a pretty substantial Jewish population, and it was founded by Alexander the Great, and so it would be Greek and Jewish, and it was Greek speaking. And in any event, it had and in the previous chapters, the writer of wisdom is telling the people they need to be careful about living among these pagans so they don't become too much like them. There was much about the Greek culture that people liked, and certainly there is, but he was reminding them they needed to remain Jewish and remain faithful to their heritage and to their faith as well. And Alexandria then did have, this is where we began the idea of the Jewish quarters of town, you know, Jews throughout the centuries have often had that, you know, lived together, and part of it is protection against people, against us, you know, but part of it too is to maintain their culture, maintain their people, and they've had that. And that's a good idea, especially for them. But he reminds them in today's reading that God is indeed merciful, and God is loving, and it's not so much to he reminds them that he wants them to be tolerant and loving toward the people, toward the other people. Throughout the centuries, there have been, you know, the idea of weeds and wheat has been, you know, the idea that Jesus said today that the weeds are the children of the evil one, and you know, there have been attempts throughout the centuries to sort of take out the non-Christians even from Christian countries. The one that comes to mind is Spain in the 15th century wanted to get rid of all non-Christians. Part of it was that they had just run out the Ottoman Turks, and so getting rid of Muslims probably made sense at the time. They also included Jews in that, anyone that was non-Christian, and that's what the Inquisitions were about, was making sure people's conversions, if they said they converted, making sure they were true. But and there's been other times through the centuries, not, you know, most no more recent than 500 years ago, where Christians have thrown out Jews from countries and that was certainly not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, don't be afraid to live next to those. Of course, in the early days of the church, we were very much a minority. But he's saying, don't be afraid to live amongst them and to have people live amongst you. God will sort them out at the end of time. It's not for us to worry about that. And I like that idea. It's not for us to be afraid to have people that are different amongst us. And so he reminds us of that. And the thing is, that parable of the leaven, it's an interesting juxtaposition, because leaven, as you know, the idea is that just a little bit takes care of the whole batch of dough. You know, just a little bit of yeast and this, you know, a whole big batch of dough will be leavened. And he says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we certainly see how that was when we look at it from Jesus' time to now, and in the apostolic times, just after Jesus rose and returned to heaven, the church was indeed a very small batch, a few hundred, a couple thousand. We, you know, I I'm sure there were people of varying degrees of zealotry, but it can't have been more than, you know, a few thousand anyway, in this huge empire of hundreds of millions. And so there, from that humble beginning, they went out, and like leaven, the empire was eventually converted, and the Europe became known as Christendom. And so indeed, that small group leavened the world. And we can still act like that. You know, the thing that Jesus doesn't mention is that, unlike actual weeds, people can convert through the leavening of Christianity. The weeds in the world can become wheat, and people don't have to change. And that's really what our goal is, to be like that leaven, to transform the world and to change it. Now, it's important for us to maintain our values, to maintain our identity as Christians. That's one of the reasons for churches, is that we come together to support one another. We come together to acknowledge our sameness, to acknowledge that we have Christ, that we want to remain faithful to that, and we want to remain as our Christian identity. But then, you know, so that when we go back out in the world, because the danger, of course, of living in the world is that the world will transform us, and we know that happens sometimes, don't we? Because it sometimes seems easier to just go along with what the world says rather than to, you know, rather than to feel like you're beating your head against the wall or whatever. But Jesus says, no, don't do that either. Don't just withdraw into like a ghetto and just not have anything to do with other people. Go out, live in the world, but transform the world, and do what you need to do to remain faithful, but still do that. And so that's our calling for today, I think, to go out, to live where we are as we do, but to try to be that leaven of Christ. Bring the love of Christ with us. Christ is, you know, God will plant seeds around the world in people. Maybe we don't even know that. We can also plant seeds by our love, by our acceptance of people, by the regard that we show them. We can plant those seeds too. But as Jesus says in another parable, we don't. When you plant an actual seed, you don't know how it grows. You don't start it. It starts on its own. It knows what to do, because that's how God made it. And that's how the seeds that we have work, the seeds of the Spirit, the seeds of the kingdom kind of work that way too. We plant them, or God plants them, and then the Holy Spirit makes them grow somehow, but we can help those along by the way we love as Christ loved. So that's what we're called to do, is to live in the world. Don't let the world change us, but help the world, the weeds of the world, to change into the wheat, so that we can all be together at the harvest time in the kingdom of heaven.